You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Introduction.
New Church. Okay, you do it.
I don't know what it says.
Well, New Churches. Say whatever.
New Churches is awesomeness of awesome. Helping church planters and people want to do multi-site ministry for the glory of God and the advance of his kingdom. So his name and fame would be more widely known. My name's Ed Stetzer. I'm here with Daniel Im, who is the brains of the New Church's operation. Did I hit the main thing?
Well, you know, now we're going to do a poll and see what
we are going to do a poll.
Because, I mean, part of the thing is, you know, for those type A, you know, those personalities that want the same thing, that regularity, you just kind of messed it all up.
Yeah, but you say the same thing at the beginning of every show.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, you know, as the music's playing, you know, you're getting going into it. Yeah.
Do we have theme music?
Well, I mean, if you listen to the podcast.
Is it maybe Floyd? Are we playing some Floyd? Comfortably numb. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
All right. Well, today's question is from Fred Mock, who is a pastor in an ethnic church with a former background as a project manager.
Wow. That's a strong name.
Yeah.
Fred Mock.
Fred Mock. Well, I think Mock or Moke.
Moke? I don't know how you spell it.
I don't really know. M-O-K.
M-O-K?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, right. I don't know.
Let's go.
Hi, my name is Fred Mock. I live in San Jose, California. I am the pastor of an English-speaking congregation in a Chinese church, and I'm thinking about bivocational church planting. I have a background as a project manager working in high tech, and I'm thinking about this bivocational model, and I'm wondering what it looks like. I need support and mentoring and resources, and I'd like to have a sending church to partner with me, but I don't know how they would do that if I'm doing something that looks very different and my biggest need isn't funding. And I'm wondering how I would even manage not to burn out being bivocational. How do I raise funds from the harvest and eventually become vocational? Because I'd like to have that as a goal. What are some metrics? It's just going to look very different, I think, than the vocational model and something more attractional. I would like to plant in a more unreached people area. So I could use your help. Thank you.
All right. So I'm glad Fred left this message. In fact, before leaving this voicemail, he actually submitted this question via Office Hours, which is a part of the Plus membership on newchurches.com. So just like this podcast, Office Hours is your opportunity to get your specific questions answered as it pertains to your church, as well as a history of all questions asked. We have Office Hours every week on newchurches.com, so you can take advantage of that. Anyways, let's get back to the question. His question was all about bivocational church planting. So what does a bivocational church planting model look like?
Well, it's a tricky thing because it doesn't look like any one thing. It looks like different things in different contexts.
Yeah.
Fred is talking. He's an English preacher at a Chinese church. I was an English preacher
in Northern
Chinese
California.
So totally. And when I was there, this was in Buffalo. I was the Buffalo Chinese Christian Church English service preacher. There is. Almost everyone in those kind of roles is going to be bivocational. So my guess is he has some familiarity with that. But to go into church planting and listening to his question closely, I think we heard some of his missiology in the question.
Yeah.
He'd like to do something in a bit more missional way, incarnational and relational.
Yeah.
He would like to more specifically be in unreached people contexts.
He would eventually want to
move into vocation.
Full-time.
Yeah. And so what I would say is I want to applaud Fred's question because I think he's on the right path. I think this is how we're going to get to real church planting impact in North America.
Yeah.
Because what he described probably isn't going to be a vocational funded position. If you're going to reach unreached peoples, and I don't know if he means, you know, it could be immigrants in the Southern California area. It could be parts of communities, pockets of society that are just unreached. But that takes longer.
Yeah.
Right? So you know, if you're planning a church, it's going to take longer. We're going to have to create new models where basically we fund someone as a missionary to live somewhere for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening. I wish it would. Don't see that happening. So then I think the answer is going to be bivocationalism. Now, we've said before, bivocationalism is not a penalty. It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
And for Fred to relationally connect in a community, now, I don't know. What would be really sweet is if his job, he mentioned he's in the tech center,
Well, he has a project. He has project management background.
Right, project management, but in the tech sector, right? Didn't he say that?
Well, he lives, you know, Northern California.
All right, so but as a project manager, if there was a place where there's some connection, but we don't know. We don't know enough about Fred's question to answer that. But here's what we do know. We do know that if you're going some pathways to bivocationalism, you need a job that has beginning and end times if you're going to be bivocational.
Yeah.
So there are some jobs that don't do well for bivocational ministry. Chief Steve Shogren, in his book, Creating Communities for the Kingdom, lists some that do well, right? Mm-hmm. So a school teacher can have more set hours, right? Someone with a high access to people, right? Someone, I mean, the kind of the joke among church planners is a, you know, Starbucks barista.
Yeah.
But somebody who's a project manager could indeed have set hours, begin to work within those set hours, still have a lot of contact with people in the community. So it could be a good kind of role.
Yeah.
Now, you got to remember that across the world, this is how church planning's done.
Oh, yeah.
Historically, this is how church, and church planning movements, this is how church planning is done. So basically what it means is Fred managing his time in such a way that he hopefully can work not 60, 70 hours a week at his project management job, but 40 hours a week, we hope,
yeah,
maybe a little more. But then to take what could be 10 to 12 hours a week, and during that 10 to 12 hours a week to prepare some sermons, mm-hmm, spend time with his leaders, and reach the lost.
Yeah.
And that's what I generally would focus on. Sermon prep, leaders, and the lost. Mm-hmm. But then to build a team, and the team could be bivocational or vocational or all volunteer, mm-hmm, to build a team that slowly, and if he's reaching unreached peoples,
yeah,
there's a reason they're unreached. They're slow and hard to reach generally, particularly if he's going to do it in California, where they've had interaction with Christians, so it's not an undiscovered tribe somewhere in South America. So if that's the case, he wants to slowly and relationally, probably by starting a home group in his home or in someone else's home. It'd be great if he could have kind of a person of peace in the community, welcome them in. Mm-hmm. And then slowly, just once a week, or begin to have that Bible study show. And I will tell you that he's going to find that, particularly engaging some less rich peoples, that not being a vocational pastor actually answers a lot of questions. People are like, well, how are you just sitting around spending all this time all day? Well, no, I got a job as a project manager.
Yeah.
So what I would say is his first thing as a church planner in an unreached people group is a small group in somebody's home in that people group.
So what you're actually what I hear you talking about is actually reaching a particular community, finding a person of peace and planting in that community. Now, what are your thoughts on his workplace?
Yeah, it depends.
Evangelizing there.
It depends. I mean, I think, we pretty much have come to sort of a sense of agreement in the U.S. that people can share their faith in the workplace. There's just certain, and there's actually helpful tools and guides to do this. There are things they can do, they can't do. But workplace is not a faith-free zone.
Yeah.
Now, if the unreached people group is connected in the workplace, that's a double opportunity bonus. If it's not, I think as a follower of Jesus, all of us have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to teach our people as pastors,
yeah,
to engage their workplaces with the cause of Christ, you know, at break time or whatever is appropriate, lunch and more. But what I would say is if he could have such the privilege to have a small group meeting in the home of somebody in the people group he's seeking to reach and do something at lunchtime at work, mm-hmm, that would be just amazing. I would say that if you're going to be a bivocational pastor, and this may be a little different than what you expected, Daniel, is I think probably the prime, I mean, he needs to share the gospel because we all need to share the gospel. But I would invest my time in the people group that God has called me to reach beyond the general relationships and gospel sharing I do at work and make my focus that Tuesday night group that hopefully leads to a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night group when it multiplies and eventually leads to a gathering and worship on Sunday. But where Fred wants to go, mm-hmm, and see, we conceptually don't know enough to answer Fred's question, is to get to a full-time vocational role. Because if this is an unreached people group, that could be years. But that's probably why Fred wants to go bivocational. And what I would say is, Fred, I would say you, by the time you get to that, you may have gotten into such a rhythm that God's using you bivocational in a way that you may stay there for decades.
Yeah.
I mean, I know friends who've done it for decades. But if in the Lord's timing, and it's certainly not an unbiblical desire, you know, the laborer is worthy of his wages, and we know the scripture passages. If in the Lord's timing that happens, we would rejoice with you, but just don't rush it, particularly when you have the freedom in another job to be successful. We Daniel, you and I were at a conference recently, and you didn't. I introduced you to the guy, but I didn't share the job he did. But this guy was a garbage collector, one of the people you met. Very successful garbage collector, which seems like a strange phrase. But in that industry, there's people who get key routes. So he goes out at 4 a.m., and he's done by 10 a.m., and he makes a good income, very good income. These kind of jobs in public service can be good. And he's got free and he pastors, and it's a wonderful thing. And he has no plan. Why would he want to leave this job that provides better than pastoring can and gives him the opportunity to serve?
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, that's one route of bivocational pastoring, yeah. One method. The other one that he had hinted at was, I mean, he is in a current church, you know, right. pastoring at the moment. And I guess the other route is, what would it look like for him to find a sending church? So let's say his church wasn't willing to send him out.
Yeah.
You know, the other model is him joining another church that is multiplying and perhaps getting a job in that neighborhood, becoming a part of that church. And going that route, you know, maybe talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, and it is tricky, and there are cultural things that, you know, neither you nor I are Chinese, mm-hmm. And so there are cultural things at work too about how do you take the next steps appropriately in a way that you could be sent out in a way that's appropriate for the setting. So we know that's some challenge. Mm-hmm. With that being said, if that precludes that church sending him out, then I think ultimately the next step could be for him to begin to seek a church that has a passion for this, where he would come and probably not just show up, hey, I'm here, I'm going to go plant a church, but be a part of the church, go before the leadership of the church, cast a vision, and then as they have sort of bought into the idea with some passion, then the end result would be that that new church would sponsor that. But you want to honor the relationships that are there in that established church,
yeah.
and having done that, and as an outsider culturally, I would ask people on the inside. So how do I honor well the culture and traditions here at the Buffalo Chinese Christian Church? And he'll want to ask that same thing, so that there's not a I don't want there to be a negative feeling towards church planting or towards him. As he goes on to this other role.
Yes, because that could leave a bad taste in the mouth of that church towards all things multiplying and church planting. Because unfortunately, in a lot of ethnic churches, their multiplication strategy is splitting.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, to not go down that route if you don't need to, if you can find another way to go towards that.
Exactly.
Yeah, right on. So, I mean, the last thing that he had talked about was this whole idea of raising funds from the harvest and ultimately becoming vocational. And we had talked about that a little bit earlier, the idea that, hey, you may take another job as the project manager. And as your church continues to grow and as you develop other leaders around you, you need to think about the idea of team planting and team leadership. So perhaps it is, you know, what you were saying about that individual who's a garbage collector, where he may continue to pastor, but it's by him raising up other leaders that he doesn't need to go full time.
And I think that's the key. The key here is that you're not looking to the goal's not to have a job this way or that way.
Yes.
The goal is to honor God, is for a church to be formed, for that church to be obedient to the scriptures. Yeah. And normally in our culture, but that doesn't mean it's a good thing, but normally in our culture, there's going to be a vocational pastor involved. But again, that's a tool, not the goal.
Yeah.
The goal is a biblically functioning church on mission. And if it's an unreached people group, that in and of itself is a challenging goal. So a tool could be bivocationalism. A tool could be vocational ministry. Let's pick the right tool
that's good.
For the right goal. And it sounds like he's right on the right path, that the right tool now is bivocational ministry, particularly if it's going to take a while. And this could be true not just in an unreached people group. If you're going to Madison, Wisconsin, which is a tough area, you know, if you're in the Northeast in Vermont or Maine, these are tough areas to plant a church. And if you're going to the inner cities of Atlanta or Houston, I think we need to be substantially more open to bivocationalism as a practice in those kinds of difficult areas.
Yeah, because the main part of it is, hey, you may sense that your next step is bivocational ministry, but the other thing, you know, don't place goals in the future, you know, to be vocational when maybe God might not even be leading you that route.
That's a good word.
Right, so that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed our episode. You can go to newchurch.com and leave a voicemail, 45 seconds. And once again, if you could leave a rating and review for our podcast, if you haven't done so yet, we would deeply appreciate it. Thanks again for listening in.